Hi, I'm Terry Marr. Welcome to Traveling on Chris. For the next half hour, we'll feature travel tips and articles from a variety of publications. Our first story comes from USA Today and is titled 10 Tips to Get Most Out of Adventure, referring to Universal Orlando. This is by Eve Chen. I'll never forget walking out of Universal Islands of Adventure in 2022, drenched from head to toe after riding Popeye and Bluto's bilge wrap barge. It was my first trip back to Universal Orlando Resort in years, and I learned some things the hard way, which I gladly shared with fellow travelers, hoping that they'd avoid my mistakes. Since then, I've had the opportunity to visit the Florida resort several times a year. While I stand by my earlier tips, I've learned a few others. Here are my top tips for first-timers visiting Universal Orlando. Number one, stay on property. From RV parks to vacation rentals, there's no shortage of places to stay in Central Florida, but it can pay to stay on property when visiting Universal Orlando. Not only are prices comparable to off-property hotels with endless summer surfside and dockside starting at $99 a night, but all of Universal's resort hotels offer 30 minutes of early entry to select parks, vary depending on time of year. They also provide free resort transportation so you can get back to your room fairly quickly after a long park day or for a midday break. That free transportation can be clutch in the mornings, particularly at pricier Lowe's Sapphire Falls, Lowe's Royal Pacific, Lowe's Portofino Bay, and Hard Rock Hotel, which offer water taxis that drop you off closer to the parks than you can get at arriving or than you can get arriving by car or bus. Cabana Bay Beach Resort and Aventura Hotel guests can walk over to Sapphire Falls for water taxis, but the extra time and steps added may make it not worth skipping the resort shuttle bus. Walking paths are also available to the parks from every resort hotel except the endless summer ones. Cabana Bay guests also have a dedicated walking path to Universal's Volcano Bay Water Park. Guests staying at Royal Pacific, Portofino Bay, and Hard Rock also get free Universal Express passes, which dramatically cut waits for most rides and normally start at $79.99 per person. Free package delivery is also available to all resort hotels if guests don't want to lug park purchases around all day. Number two, buy a popcorn bucket. Snacking at the parks can get expensive. Guests are welcome to bring their own snacks, but there's one crowd pleaser that won't break the bank. A plain popcorn bucket costs a little over $12, and you can keep getting refills throughout your trip. Refills cost around $2 each, making popcorn among the cheapest, most shareable snacks on property. On our last trip, my family and I got multiple refills for the price of one pretzel with cheese dip. Number three, bring a light refillable water bottle. Staying hydrated is always important, particularly on hot park days. You can fill water bottles with free ice cold water at any of the many Coca-Cola Freestyle machines across the property. Cups of ice water are also available for free anywhere dispensed soft drinks are sold. Leave big double-walled stainless steel tumblers at home. Not only will they feel heavy, carrying them around all the day, but if they aren't leak-proof, they'll make a mess when you tip them on their sides to fit lockers for thrill rides. Number four, bring a medium-sized bag to carry your stuff. Numerous attractions from Jurassic World Velocicoaster to Men in Black Alien Attack require guests to store loose articles in lockers provided for the duration of the ride. Previously recommended keeping most of your things together to avoid having to empty every pocket each time. That's still true, but I want to add a caveat on size. The free lockers aren't very big. They can fit a Loungefly-style mini backpack or empty popcorn bucket if you squish them down, but they're not large enough for packed full-size backpacks. Keep that in mind unless you want to pay for larger lockers. Number five, bring ponchos. Ponchos don't take a lot of space and can save you from getting soaked like me on Popeye and Bluto's bilge wrap barge, Dudley Do Right's Ripsaw Falls, and Jurassic Park River Adventure. Even if you skip water rides, ponchos are good to keep on hand for rainy park days. Number six, use single rider lines. Many attractions have a single rider lane. If you're traveling alone or don't mind your party being split up, you can save time using the single rider lane if it's open. Not always offered. It doesn't guarantee a short wait, but it's usually shorter. On our latest trip, my middle schooler waited at least 45 minutes for the Incredible Hulk coaster and an hour for Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket. That was about as long as the regular standby wait for Hulk, but shorter than the standby wait for Rip Ride Rocket. The following attractions have single rider lanes, though availability varies. Universal Studios Florida, E.T. Adventure, Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts, Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket, Men in Black Alien Attack, Revenge of the Mummy, The Simpsons Ride, Transformers The Ride 3D, And for Universal Islands of Adventure, Dr. Doom's Free Fall, Deadly Do-Right's Ripsaw Falls, Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, Jurassic Park River Adventure, Jurassic World Velocicoaster, The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man, The Incredible Hulk Coaster. Number 7, use Child Swap. If someone in your party doesn't meet ride requirements for an attraction or simply wants to sit it out, you can ask for a child swap. It's particularly helpful for families with young children because it allows parents and caregivers to take turns riding the ride and staying with whoever is sitting it out. On our most recent trip, my youngest didn't want to ride Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure, so we all waited in line together, but then she and I peeled off to a designated waiting room while my middle schooler and mother-in-law went on the ride. When they were done, my mother-in-law stayed with my youngest while I went on the ride. My middle schooler lucked out, getting to ride it twice. Not all attractions have waiting rooms, but they all offer swaps. Just let team members know you need one. Number 8, take breaks. Theme parks can be exhausting. Not only are you on your feet all day, but they can be loud, crowded, and overstimulating. When possible, I like to plan for at least one sit-down meal in the day. This way, I can take my time and recuperate in air conditioning away from crowds. I'll typically splurge on one table service meal, but there are several medium-priced quick-service restaurants across both theme parks where you can grab a lighter snack and relax. Really, any cool spot where you can sit down works. Nocturne Alley in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Diagon Alley at Universal Studios Florida is always refreshing, though dark. Jurassic Park Discovery Center and Islands of Adventure is a great place for kids to explore while adults unwind. Number 9, watch the shows. Rides get a lot of the love. Universal Orlando's live entertainment is top tier. You can find showtimes on the free resort app or simply stop to watch performances you stumble across while roaming the parks. The only year-round shows with dedicated seating are at Universal Studios Florida. Animal Actors on Location, The Bourne Stuntacular, and Universal Orlando's Horror Makeup Show, which is more funny than scary. Number 10, let little ones stretch their legs. There are several play areas across both theme parks for little ones to burn off energy. This summer, a new DreamWorks Land will open at Universal Studios Florida with a Kung Fu Panda-themed play area. At Islands of Adventure, kids can explore Camp Jurassic and Jurassic Park, If I Ran a Zoo in Seuss Landing and Me Ship, the Olive and Toon Lagoon. There are also splash pads and water features across Toon Lagoon. Bonus, don't sleep on Volcano Bay. You'll definitely want to pack swimming suits if you're heading to Volcano Bay, which regularly ranks among the best water parks in the country and adds a completely different experience to vacations. It's themed like a tropical paradise with plenty of trees and an iconic volcano that houses multiple water slides. Water park can get crowded, but you never spend too much time standing in line because every guest gets a Tapu Tapu wearable bracelet that lets them join one virtual queue at a time. Single day tickets start at $80, which is considerably less than the $119 starting price for guests age 10 and up at Universal Studios Florida or Islands of Adventure, but still not cheap. However, if you're already planning to buy multi-day tickets for both theme parks, tacking on Volcano Bay is not much more. Dangerous Oahu Hike Will Be Removed Permanently is by Kathleen Wan of USA Today. Starting this month, one of Hawaii's most dangerous and controversial hikes will be permanently removed. Oahu's Stairway to Heaven Trail, comprising 3,922 slick steel steps that ascend the narrow ridges of the Kulau Mountain Range, has been illegal to hike since 1987. Although trespassing costs hikers a $1,000 citation, thousands still attempted the trek for an Edenic view of the island. Social media helped propel the trail, also known as Haiku Stairs, into popularity. The process of dismantling the aging narrow metal stair structure will begin with the removal of more than 600 stair modules, according to a news release by the city and county of Honolulu. The entire project is expected to take 6 months. During last Wednesday's announcement, Honolulu Mayor Rick Wangiardi said the removal is, quote, long overdue, unquote. This decision that was made was predicated upon our respect for the people who live in and around the entrance to the stairs, our respect for our Aina land, and our respect for both the future and the past history of the culture of the Haiku community, he added. The city and county of Honolulu unanimously passed Resolution 21-154 in 2021 to remove the stairs as an effort to increase the quality of life for the nearby residents, improve public safety, and preserve the natural beauty of the lush Haiku Valley. Honolulu City Council Vice Chair Esther Kiana, who introduced the resolution, called the project, quote, a new chapter for Haiku Valley, unquote, and the collective decision to eradicate the stairs is, quote, for the good of the community, unquote, during the news conference, according to Hawaii New Now. For decades of the community asking the government for relief, we had an obligation to make a decision, and a decision that I knew would displease some people, but at the end, I had to look at a lot of variable factors. Kiina, who has been involved in discussions around land management for Haiku Stairs for over 2 decades, told USA Today. She called it, quote, a hard decision, unquote. For decades, residents who live near the stairs have been complaining of disturbances by hikers who often hop fences and trespass on a private property during the middle of the night to catch the sunrise. Some hikers block people's driveways and vandalize or urinated on people's property, the resolution said. Between August 2017 and March 2020, police officers turned away 11,427 people attempting to hike the stairs by passing through the surrounding neighborhoods, the resolution said. With its steep cliffs and unpredictable weather conditions, the trail is highly dangerous. Any mistake can result in helicopter rescue, although there have not been any fatalities on record. Between 2010 and 2022, more than 188 people were rescued from the hike, paid for by taxpayers. With helicopter rescues costing thousands of dollars, a bill was introduced last year to make people pay for their own rescues, but it has not passed. Along with deconstructing the stairs, the project also includes the restoration of native plants in impacted areas. The project also will preserve some of the structure to honor the stairs' historical significance as a World War II military access route. The city stressed that the stairs will become even more perilous during construction. Heisei aims for gold standard of Paris lodgings, by Kathleen Wong. As the Paris 2024 Summer Olympics approach, thousands of travelers eager to be a part of the excitement are likely searching for the perfect accommodations. The Olympics will take place from July 26 to August 11th and are expected to attract about 300,000 people to the opening ceremony. Though folks can search for Airbnbs or hotels, there's a lodging option exclusively to the City of Lights that seeks to curate a high-end Parisian experience for its guests. Heisei is a new hybrid hospitality concept that blends the amenities of a five-star hotel with the privacy of a luxury residence. The independent collection of 1 to 3 bedroom apartments is located in some of Paris's iconic neighborhoods and puts travelers close to the Olympic action. Heisei was born on a trip with friends inspired by the desire to reinvent the classic hotel model, general manager Maxime Lalamette told USA Today in an email. From there, the brand sought to break free from the norms of traditional hospitality and offer an innovative combination of upscale short-term travel apartments and luxury hotels. What sets Heisei apart? Heisei seeks to give guests the best of both worlds, experiencing a five-star hotel and local luxurious flat all at once, Lalament said. Guests can opt for short-term stays, such as a single night or up to a month. With floor-to-ceiling windows and marble fireplaces, each Heisei apartment has been highly curated by a team of expert architects and interior designers who exude the quintessential Parisian elegance that attracts travelers. Guests can quickly check in and out through digital key locks. One-bedroom apartment in the Marais that can hold up to 4 guests starts at $538 or 500 euros a night. Like a hotel, each high-stay apartment comes with daily housekeeping, a guest experience manager, and personalized concierge to coordinate things such as car services, breakfast delivery, and restaurant reservations. Concierge even curates a snack and coffee collection to your liking. Guests can also request a unique city guide for their Parisian neighborhood that includes gallery openings, new restaurants, and more. There also are high-stay experiences that immerse travelers in the culture of Paris, such as a private cooking class or an exclusive visit to the engine room or of the Eiffel Tower and a glass of champagne at the top. How many high-stay sites? 36 apartments are available in neighborhoods including Champs-Élysées, Saint-Honoré, Louvre, and Marais. By the end of 2025, the company plans to expand to 100 locations, including villas. Where can travelers book? Travelers can browse available apartments and reserve online at Heisei's website. How far in advance should I book? Travelers can reserve their Heisei apartment just as they would with a hotel or Airbnb, whether it's 1 day or in advance or months ahead. Why pick Heisei for Olympics? Majority of the high-stay apartments are close to the Olympic festivities, such as the Eiffel Tower Stadium and the landmark itself, and an outdoor stadium at the Parc des Champs de Mars. Concierge services can make enjoying the city during the games more seamless, Lalament said. Those attending may choose to take advantage of high-stay's personalized concierge services, including add-ons ranging from luxury car services to and from the venue to daily breakfast deliveries before the festivities, childcare services, or a personal training session to start. Cruise Line's Fresh Fish Program, a hit. All in America uses fish sourced from 60 ports. This is by Nathan Diller of USA Today. The semi-truck carrying my dinner backed into its parking spot at the Port of San Diego on a late morning in early April. Shortly before noon, the vehicle opened to reveal roughly 2,800 pounds of fish that had been caught just days earlier. Workers transferred boxes of mahi-mahi and other seafood from the chilly trailer to a warehouse-like space. Fish was inspected and moved onto an extension lift. Think a utility vehicle modeled on Mr. Fantastic, parked near Holland America Line's Koningsdam ship. Mechanical arm reached across the edge of the pier into a square opening toward the vessels aft, where it disappeared from view. But by about 7 p.m., a piece of that mahi-mahi was on my plate in the ship's main dining room. Prepared with cilantro rice, guajillo chiles, chipotle, and tomato, the fish was mild and sweet with a kick from the spicy sauce. Part of its global fresh fish program, Holland America brings a wide range of seafood from port to plate within 48 hours across its fleet. Last week, brand took that a step further, revealing it is the first global cruise line to receive Marine Stewardship Council, MSC, Aquaculture Stewardship Council, ASC, certifications for more sustainable and responsible seafood sourcing. USA Today got a behind-the-scenes look at how the program works during a recent cruise. What is Holland America's Fresh Fish Program? The cruise line sources fish from more than 60 ports around the world. During Koningsdam's April 5th voyage, the crew picked up the mahi-mahi along with rockfish, swordfish, rainbow trout, and sea bass in San Diego. The 48-hour window applies on most voyages, but on repositioning sailings or crossings, fresh fish may be served over a longer window. In those circumstances, however, the fish is not served under the, quote, port-to-plate, unquote, banner. On our sailing, they initially loaded enough for 5 or 6 days and would later restock. So out of the 22-day voyage, hopefully, we can do maybe 12 or 13 times fresh fish upstairs and then the dining room, the executive chef Darren Yardley Salisbury in a storeroom lined with metallic shelves on one of the vessel's lower decks. Michael Standebach, the line's vice president of food and beverage and guest services, told USA Today the program was born in response to increasing guest demand for seafood and a desire to make the procurement process more sustainable. He said at least 75% of Holland America passengers order fresh fish once, if not twice, per cruise. We were looking into the destinations where we are cruising, like Alaska or the Caribbean, and we wanted to get away from the delivery of shipping containers in the ports, Sendebach said. We wanted to build relationships in the single destinations we are in with suppliers. Cruise Line previously announced in 2022 that it was certified by Responsible Fisheries Management by serving only fresh, sustainable Alaska seafood on its ships sailing there before scaling up its efforts. Unlike frozen fish, which is prepared in larger portions, though they vary based on the ship's size, Sendebach said the fresh fish is cooked, quote, a la minute, unquote. The fresh fish is kept cold until the order is coming in and then they start to produce it. So there's no overproduction, he said. It's really on the spot. And I think that is the freshest way you can experience the fish. During the first few days of the April cruise, other fresh fish dishes included sea bass with lemon butter sauce and tapenade at Brasserie Rudy's Sel de Mer and trout with a breadcrumb and cashew crust served in a curry sauce at Asian restaurant Tamarind. Fresh fish is not available in all ports, though, Yardley Salisbury said, and the line also still serves seafood that has been frozen outside of Alaska. The percentage of fresh versus frozen fish varies by sailing. What kinds of fish are part of the program? The program features more than 80 kinds of fish with different selections depending on where the ship is sailing. The Caribbean has options like summer flounder and yellowfin tuna, while Hawaii offers striped marlin and Hawaiian pink snapper, among others. A full list can be found on Holland America's website. Getting fresh supplies is easier on some cruises than others. On sailings like ours with many sea days, the kitchen staff has fewer options than in Europe, for instance, where vendors are plentiful. In Europe, it's a little bit like heaven for a chef, said Yardley Salisbury. We can go from port to port and we can get the most amazing stuff. Cruise Line denotes which options are fresh on the menus and will label items that are MSC and ASC certified as well. MSC certifications apply to wild-caught seafood, while ASC certifications are for farm seafood. Overfishing, unregulated fishing, excessive bycatch, these are all things that have a huge impact on the ocean, said Erica Feller, Regional Director, Americas at the MSC. MSC issues certifications to fisheries that meet its sustainability requirements, as well as chain of custody certifications that affirm the fish customers Buying comes from a certified fishery. Process is voluntary and the certifications are based on third-party audits. Fishery certification lasts 5 years, while the chain of custody certification is good for 3. Both undergo annual audits to ensure they are maintaining those conditions. The crew on Koning's Dam did a quality check of its own. Yardley Salisbury and members of the kitchen staff tasted dishes, including fish, before service to make sure the dishes are prepared according to the recipe. Favor profile is, quote, as it should be, unquote. Gathered around a table in the galley, they each grab spoon or forkfuls of every dish. They repeat that process every day before service. Any alterations that we need to make should only be seasoning issues, temperature issues, volume issues, maybe a little bit of sauce, he said. Does fresh fish cost more? Fresh fish may be more expensive, but passengers shouldn't worry about seeing higher fares or food costs as a result. Sendebach said the line is saving money on logistics costs by cutting back on containers, quote, being shipped from A to B, unquote. For that reason, you can spend more money on the product, he said. Program and the new certifications help offer guests a user-friendly way to eat more sustainably, Feller said. The whole idea here is to make it easy for people to find that good choice. Recreation.gov, a one-stop guide to outdoors. Website becomes a portal to federal lands by Eve Chen, USA Today. There are more federal lands and waters than you can explore in a lifetime, and there's a free tool to help find the best ones for you. Recreation.gov is a one-stop shop for planning adventures in the great outdoors. Our job with Recreation.gov is to set people out to have the best experience they can, and when they know what to expect, they know how to prepare. They know what passes they might need, if their entry fees, if they need time, reservations, anything like that, said Janelle Smith, who works for the U.S. Forest Service and Recreation.gov Public Affairs. Here's how to use the site to plan your next getaway or level up your next road trip. Is Recreation.gov a real website? Yes, 14 federal agencies, ranging from the National Park Service to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, use Recreation.gov as a, quote, centralized travel planning and reservation platform, unquote, according to the website. All of our federal agencies that participate in Recreation.gov share their data with us, even if it's not a reasonable or reservable location, said Smith. Travelers can use that data to find points of interest across the country. Today, there are about 5,000 recreation areas and 121,000 individual sites available to reserve on Recreation.gov. Where is a good place to camp? To find highly rated campgrounds near you, use the map tool in the middle of the homepage or select the camping and lodging thumbnail near the top. Either can help you search Recreation.gov's database of campgrounds and other accommodations, which you can narrow by rating as well as distance, price, availability, and even mobile coverage. You can click on each location to find additional details like rules, activities, and nearby attractions. You'll need to create an account on the website to make a reservation. There's many reasons for that, the most important being those local managers who manage the locations where you're going to visit need to be able to communicate with you for things like maybe a fire emergency or flooding or anything that could impact your stay, Smith explained. How do I plan where to stop on a road trip? Recreation.gov's Trip Builder can help you find all sorts of scenic places to stop, whether for a picnic or a full park day. From the homepage, click on Plan Your Vacation with Trip Builder. From there, you can enter a starting point and destination and filter what you'd like to do along the way. You want to go hiking or snorkeling? Are you interested in historical and cultural sites or simply driving around and looking at scenery? You can indicate how far out of the way you're willing to go for these destinations. I can set this buffer zone right here to, say, 50 miles outside of my route, Smith said. It will show me then all the different recreation opportunities along that route that I wouldn't have known about otherwise just driving along the road. Can you just show up to a national park? Sometimes. Most national parks do not require reservations for entry. Those that do most only require reservations for certain areas during certain times, like summit sunrises at Haleakala National Park in Hawaii. Some may require reservations or fees for specific activities like cave tours at Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky. Others may require activity permits or lotteries like hiking Angel's Landing at Zion National Park in Utah. If a location requires a permit, it's typically a location that is extremely popular and the demand is greater than the capacity of that experience, Smith said. She encourages travelers to consider less visited destinations. All the participating agencies of Recreation.gov beyond the big national parks have hundreds and thousands of amazing locations that people may not know about, Smith said. By venturing out just beyond sort of the known areas, I think you can discover parts of this country that are really surprising, and they have so much to offer. For next cruise, pick safari over Caribbean. Travelers can see places they may otherwise miss, as by Zach Wichter of USA Today. Kylie Heard, an Australian pastor on Norwegian Dawn's February 25th Southern Africa itinerary, cruising has been the best way to check places off her bucket list. I just go with whatever cruise line has the itinerary that I want to do at the time that I'm available. It tends to be Norwegian, and when I saw that Norwegian had all these African cruises, I just thought, I'm going to spend summer in Africa because it's an amazing itinerary, she told USA Today. When it comes to cruising, most Americans probably think of bopping around the Caribbean or checking out the wilds of Alaska if they're feeling especially adventurous, but that's really just scratching the surface. Cruise lines are increasingly offering diverse itineraries, including expedition cruises to remote parts of the globe and introductory sailings to help travelers explore countries and regions they might never visit otherwise. Madagascar was the real draw for months of consecutive cruises on the Dawn for Heard. I've been trying to go to Madagascar for years. I always wanted to go there way before the movies ever came out. One of those places that's really difficult to get to, she said. When I saw Madagascar on a cruise itinerary, I was like, I have to do it. Although the February 25th sailing had to skip Madagascar for logistical reasons, after a delay departing Mauritius, Heard said that she was able to visit the country earlier on her trip and that it was a real highlight. Norwegian's Africa itineraries had various changes and missed ports throughout the season. Passenger contracts give cruise lines some leeway, alter itineraries on short notice for reasons including weather or conditions on the ground that prevent ships from reaching or being accommodated safely in a scheduled port. Such changes can be especially common in regions prone to political unrest or that lack sophisticated port facilities. Even so, Heard said she understood why passengers who missed out would be frustrated, but she encouraged her fellow travelers to keep an eye on the positive. I understand the disappointment. I was disappointed too, but we're still having a great time. The February 25th cruise still stopped at Reunion, a French island in the Indian Ocean, which has an active volcano as well as ports in South Africa where travelers could spot local wildlife. Safari from a cruise. Norwegian Dawn stopped at four ports in South Africa, three of which offered safari experiences as shore excursions. From Richards Bay, passengers could visit the Isimangiselo West Wetland Park, home to elephants, rhinoceroses, hippopotamuses, zebras, and other classic African big game. The park is about an hour and a half drive from the port, and Norwegian's shore excursion included two game drives, snorkeling and a traditional South African braai, or barbecue. Just as cruise itineraries can sometimes be subject to last-minute changes, safaris are at the whim of wild animals. Sightings are not guaranteed, but patience and vigilance are often rewarded. In Gabera, formerly Port Elizabeth, Norwegian Dawn's passengers could visit Addo Elephant National Park, also about an hour and a half drive from the port. As the name suggests, Addo is home to a huge and docile population of more than 600 elephants. These animals often congregate around watering holes accessible from well-worn safari tracks. Even after a strong rainfall the night before the excursion, which allowed elephants to retreat into the bush and temporarily lessen their reliance on overtaxed wells, dozens of the creatures greeted visitors coming from the ship for two-hour game drives. All right, that's all the traveling time we have today. I'm Terry Marr, so on until next time.